Good morning. Today is unbelievably April 27th already. It's supposed to be 81 degrees today. That's what my weather person said. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have to take our meetings outside this afternoon.
I'm going to.
Well, I thought we ought to skip school and go to the beach.
Good idea. Spend money.
Well, I don't know about that. Just go to the beach. I'm going to open a public hearing and work session on House Bill 5031. And John, let's get started.
Chair Comp, members of the committee, House Bill 5031 is the fee bill for the health-related licensing boards. The only fee included in the bill is for the Board of Medical Imaging for fingerprint-based background checks. If you'll recall from Thursday's meeting, 5031 needs a public hearing work session because I missed the posting requirement deadline. So it hasn't had a that's correct. It hasn't had a public hearing yet. So this today should fulfill that requirement. And then this bill will also accompany 5023, the budget bill that the committee approved on Thursday. These two will now travel together, so we're kind of catching up the paperwork here. But the memo should be included on OLIS as well as the fiscal impact. There's also a preliminary staff measure summary, the board intends to conduct the fingerprint-based background checks on new applicants for any license and permit. They currently do LEDS checks on renewals, and they'll continue to do that practice for the renewal licensures. The fee revenue anticipated is $48,950 of other funds. Most of this will be passed through to Oregon State Police to conduct the background check. Legislative Fiscal Office recommends the ratification of the fee.
Do we need to, since this is our first, this isn't our first public hearing, mm-hmm. is it on this?
It is on this bill, yes.
Okay, do we want to hear from our people in this?
Yes, whoever
committee?
You have.
I don't have names. John, who do we have?
Executive Director, Mr. Conlow is here. He can
Mr. Conlow, would you please come forward? Help us out. Well, not help us out. Inform us of what's happening in your agency.
Chair Comp, members of the committee, my name is Ed Conlow. I'm the executive director of the Board of Medical Imaging. The board approved a rulemaking last year to initiate fingerprint background checks for new applicants for licensure. Previously, we had done LEDS state police background checks on new and renewal licenses. It's a two-year license cycle. We will continue to do the LEDS background checks on the renewals, and for new licenses only. The plan is we initiated fingerprint background checks. About 20% of our licensure data base is from out of state, many from the state of Washington, but other states as well. There's people that travel to do this work, and the board felt that it was necessary to it's their charge to protect the public health, and that was viewed as part of that charge.
Thank you. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And John, is the $750 for holdback for administrative costs, is that consistent with what other boards do?
Chair Comp, Representative Huffman, that's actually identical to what the nursing board does. So the Board of Medical Imaging looked at their fee structure and their usage of the fingerprint background checks and decided to do it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for our witness at this time? Okay, you're excused.
Thank you.
And I'm going to close the public hearing and open the work session. I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 5031, opening a work session on 5031.
John, Madam Co-Chair.
Oh, do we have nothing else, or does John need to do another report?
Chair, Comp, members of the committee, I can just reiterate, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends ratification of the fee.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move House Bill 5031 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Motion has been made to move 5031 to the full committee with LFO recommendations. Discussion?
Madam Co-Chair, almost the entire amount of this fee increase goes to the Oregon State Police for background checks. This is something we've been doing for the other health-related boards over the last couple of biennia, and this kind of catches them up with the other boards.
Thank you. Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize if I missed this in my water bottle filling or anything else, but can you repeat again the new applicants will be fingerprinted and ongoing will not, because that's how we've been doing it in that's how the nursing board and other boards have been doing this.
Chair Comp, Representative Smith Warner, that's correct. The board will implement the fingerprint background checks on new licensees only. Renewals will be the LEDS checks only.
Oh, gotcha.
Is that clear?
It is. It is clear. It's just, I guess my question is, why? Do we have a why on that? Is the assumption if you're there, you know, we would have picked up on your anything a background check would bring you or a fingerprint would bring you?
Senator Roblin.
I think from testimony that we've heard, the issue is that a lot of the people that are coming in for their first license are from out of state. Our LEDS does a really good job with all of our stuff and some others, but out of state stuff, it's easier to use the background check that gets the bigger view for people who haven't lived in our state. And I think there's a reason to do that more expensive one. When you don't know the people that are coming in, they're the first time the applicant, it gives you a more thorough background. In the LEDS, I think, does a really good job. If anything has happened while they're here in the state, I think you'll get it, so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, great question. Any other discussion on the motion? Any objections? Motion carries. And do we need carriers for this?
Yes.
Yes, Chair Comp. Would you like to do the same carriers as the budget bill, or do you want to?
Yes, please.
Okay. So just to remind everyone, the carrier to the full for both 5023 and 5031 will be Chair Comp. To the Senate, Senator Roblin, and to the House, Representative Huffman.
I recall being elected to do that.
Yeah. You volunteered. Assigned.
I was volunteered.
I believe you were out of the room at the time, Representative.
You're okay with that, Representative
Yes.
Huffman. Okay, thank you. Okay. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5031 and 13. Oh, I see. It's 31 and 13. I'm going to close the work session on 5031 and open the work session on 5013.
Okay, I'm Chair Comp, members of the committee. The next item on your agenda is the work session for House Bill 5013, which is the appropriation bill for the Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. The 2015-17 LFO recommended budget for the board is six positions, 4.5 FTE, and $1,519,084 other funds. It includes three policy packages. The first one is an increase in licensing fee. It's going to increase the licensing fee application from $125 to $175, and the initial licensing fee from $100 to $125 for professional counselors and marriage and family therapists starting July 1st, 2015. The last fee increase for the board was 2002. We felt that this fee increase was necessary because even with this proposed budget, the board would have about 272,000 ending fund balance, which is about 4.3 months of operation. And then the policy package 103. Oh, before I go on, I also want to remind you that the next two boards, the counselors, therapists, and licensing board, and the psychologist examiner board, are working under an interagency collaboration agreement where they share two staff member, a director, an executive director, and a program policy analyst three. And so we'll work them closely, and you'll see some similarities. And the policy package 103 is for an office specialist two position, increase other fund of about $84,833 to one limited duration half-time office specialist two position. The reason the agency asked for a permanent position, but because of this interagency agreement, we thought we would do limited duration so that the two agencies can spend this year thinking through their staffing needs, and maybe they both won't need these two positions. And policy package 104 is for background checks. It's just passed through to the Oregon State Police, and they do this every 2 years.
Any questions for staff? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So you just referenced that, if I heard you right, and let me know if I misunderstood here, that we're doing this shared, each agency is increasing one as a shared position, and we may find that this is not necessary and then scale back.
Right. Okay. Right. Co-chairs and members of the committee, yes. For this agency, they're asking for that office specialist position because of their workload is they just can't keep up, and so they wanted a permanent position, and we said let's do limited duration first and see if maybe you can share more staff than the two positions that you share now.
Co-chair.
Yes, Mr. Co-chair.
So basically what we're saying is we want to see how this works out before we make it permanent.
Right. Or not make it permanent at
ever.
Co-chair Rowe, members of the committee, or not fund this position at all for the next biennium.
Okay.
Gives us options.
Right.
Any other questions of the staff? Okay.
Motion.
Mr. Co-chair, yes.
Madam Co-chair, I move that the Education Subcommittee approve the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5013.
Motion is to approve the it's Monday and I'm not awake yet. Move that Education Subcommittee approve the LFO recommendations to 5013. Any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So as I look at this, a couple things jump out at me. We're looking at a 34% increase, which is a lot. And I have sat on this committee for, I guess this is my third term on this committee, and I can't think of very many times, if any, we eliminated limited duration positions. They were usually limited duration for a while, and then we moved to permanent. Rarely do we move back from that, and so I have some concerns about that. And as far as a workload issue, as I look at the KPMs, their percentages, frankly, are better than most of these agency boards that we look at, and I don't see any glaring concerns as far as their response times. For those reasons, I won't be able to support the motion today.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Yes,
Chair.
Representative Huffman.
Thank you. So, Kim, can you refresh my memory of what the hopes and efficiencies, what was the justification again for the 34.6%? And I understand part of it's the position that we just talked about, but is that all of that 34?
No, co-chairs and Representative Huffman. It's one, I mean, there are several reasons why the percentage is so high. One is that the agency is such a small agency, and so any amount of increase would be a huge percentage for them. But the other two larger increases is one is their background checks. Every 2 years they have to do a background check on a portion of their licensees, so that's 113,139 just pass through for their background checks. And the other one is that, you know, that's pretty much a larger percentage than the position that they're requesting.
So that's a new thing they're adding. where it's every 2 years.
Right. So that's always just an expense they have every 2 years that makes that, you know, that just plays with that 34% increase.
Can I follow up?
Yes, follow up.
Or another follow up for those keeping track. The increase in licensing fee renewals, is that every 2 years? I know we had one board that was like 5 years.
I believe it, and the director would correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it is every 2 years. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And the other thing that I would state, though, the last fee increase for this board was 2002.
Maybe that's what I was. I knew there was some nuance that for some reason I felt before it was justified.
Yeah. And co-chairs and members of the committee, I also want to point out another thing. Because they are working under an interagency agreement with the hopes that they will combine to be one board, the other thing I was concerned about was I didn't want, when they do combine, for the other board to be supporting the members of this board. I wanted to make sure the fees were equitable. For both set of licensees.
Okay. Representative Usper.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that that conversation about each agency supporting themselves. I got a little confused with Representative Huffman's question and the answer. Are background checks currently being done every 2 years? So then what's the, I don't yet understand what the increase is.
So we always phase out the background checks, and then it's added back in as a policy package. So that's why if you take a look at the numbers without that package, it would really be more of a 10% increase than a 14% increase rather than a 34% increase. For this agency.
Follow up.
So there's always a large increase in this agency? That still doesn't yet make sense to me. Am I being thick-headed?
No.
that wasn't a fair question, was it?
Co-chairs and member of the committee, no. It's just because it is a policy decision. If you remember, it was the legislature that wanted all these boards to do background checks. We always make it a policy package each time they do the background check, so that once they do the background check, that gets phased out of their budget. That portion, that amount, get phased out of their CSL level budget, so that you know that portion of the budget is also that background check.
Thank you.
I think it's supposed to provide clarity.
Interesting way
glad
of doing
to hear.
That. I know it's kind of reversed.
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, I was going to give Senator Thompson a chance.
I was going to intervene for him and ask him if she could, she said about 10%, if she could justify a 9.999%, then we might have Senator Thompson on board.
Senator, did you have some
comments? I just want to make a little comment. It's like we don't raise taxes anymore, but we raise the crap out of people's fees. And, this is other funds, but it comes from private people, private businesses. I would love to be able to every year sit down and pencil in my business that I'm going to get a 25 or 35% increase. I think each one of these, but 2 years from now we'll be looking at another increase. They'll come up with some other reason to do that. And it's way over the my 9% limit that we gave schools, so I'll probably be a no.
Representative Smith Warner, did you have a further question?
I was drinking water, but then I was going to ask a question, so yes. Madam Chair, about the background checks, did you say that has been a policy decision that the legislature has made in the past for this board in particular and some other boards to do a background check with every renewal?
Co-chairs and members of the committee, it was a decision that the legislature made for every board and commission with licensees that work with the public for their safety.
The same full background check every time they renew their license?
Well, the very first one, you know, is more extensive, and then they do a renewal check each time,
okay,
just to make sure there's no nothing else in the records.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Roland, I was going to look that way. Oh, Senator Roland.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I have this clarified. Because of the policies we have sent to these boards, this board in particular will have a 10% increase every year at least, just because of the background checks, because the million you're doing. And it goes away every year because they've met their qualifications, and now we have to rethink, do we want to do it again? So starting out, they are at 10% with this particular board. They're at 10% before they even get started, and that's going to happen every time because of policies we've given to them and our decision to leave this as a policy package each time. They haven't had an increase since 2002 in their fees, which is probably as long as any board I've heard for a long time. And we're trying to get it parity with the other agency that they may join at some point with regard to the payments so that they don't get subsidized by the other group. So I feel really comfortable if that's the way it is with this budget.
Thank you. Great explanation. Okay. Any other discussion? I think we're ready for a motion, Senator.
Oh, well, first I need to recommend amending House Bill 5013 with the following changes. In line 6, delete 1,517,167 and insert 1,519,084.
And that's the dash one amendment?
Yes, it is.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 5013.
The motion is to move the dash one amendments to House Bill 3015. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes.
Okay, Co-Chairs, member of the committee, LFO move that you approve the key performance measures as outlined in your legislative proposed 2015-17 key performance measures. All in all, the agency is doing well. They have 100% meeting board best practices, and most of their customer service ratings are good or excellent. And the and all in all, they're doing well. So we're going to keep the performance measures as is.
Thank you.
Madam Co-Chair, I would move that the Education Subcommittee approve the LFO key performance measure recommendations.
The motion has been made to keep the key performance measures recommendations by LFO on House Bill 5013. Discussion? Any objections? Senator Thompson, I missed you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. He's just a hand up. He didn't look over here, but that's not my fault.
Okay. I apologize.
So can you?
Senator.
You noticed that I was a no.
Yes. Julie, you noticed that Senator Thompson was a no.
Thank you.
Did I miss anybody else? Thank you. Thank you for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Ready for final motion?
Okay. Yeah, final motion.
Madam Co-Chair, I move that the Education Subcommittee move House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Motion is that the Education Subcommittee move House Bill 5013 as amended to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Okay. Any comments and discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm
Representative Huffman.
Thank you. I'm going to support this based on my understanding of what I heard, although it's confusing. And I think it's a bizarre way to keep books where you have to, it'd be like Senator Thompson doing all of his sprays for the year and then rolling them back out to start over for the next year and showing that his expenses are up 17% or whatever that might be when he's actually spending the same thing or close to the same thing he did last year on sprays. Did I totally miss the boat on? Because I understood Kim to say they spent this last biennium, but because they have to roll it back out and renew it every 2 years based on some goofy rule that we passed on the boards, it shows as a larger increase than it really is.
That's my understanding. Co-Chair and then Senator Thompson.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, my understanding is that this hasn't been increased since 2002. That's 13 years ago. That the increase is about 10% plus the background check, which the legislature is requiring them to do. And that seems reasonable to me.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Thompson?
Could you have LFO explain what Rep. Huffman said so we hear it one more time?
Okay, Co-Chair.
Well, it all depends. Are we talking ground spray or aerial spray?
Oh, the spray.
Bug spray.
Go for bait.
Co-Chair, Senator Thompson, I think I misspoke a bit. It's not every 2 years, but every two biennia. So that's why we phase it out.
Okay.
So that you can see that, you know, without those, because there is one biennia where it's not budgeted because they don't need it. The agency won't need it. And you'll see that in the next budget where this board, it's not their cycle yet, and there is no background check in their budget.
Just Ms. Senator Thompson, any follow-up?
No, that was confusing enough.
Okay, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just don't recall this conversation occurring before on this committee regarding this board. And maybe I've forgotten it. If it is indeed, and I don't know that the legislature said every 2 years you'll do a background check.
Before.
I think we've, I'm not sure, I just don't remember, but I don't recall us saying every 2 years you will do this. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. We've said you need to do background checks on licensees, which is a different scenario. But if this is consistent with what we've been doing or do, I'm not seeing these large increases that would equate to what we're seeing here in our other boards. So if that's a legislative policy, and again, I think we're just, I don't speak for anybody else, I'm thoroughly confused. I don't see the consistency. If this is a legislative policy for boards, I'm not seeing it consistent with other boards.
Co-Chairs, Representative Springer. Unfortunately, my next two boards, this is not their cycle for checking renewals of their licensees, so it's not in there. But I assure you that other boards that deal with licensees, that deal with the public, they do have this requirement to do background check, and it does get phased out in the biennium that they don't need it, and it is phased back in as a policy package in the biennium that they need to do background checks.
Follow-up, Madam Co-Chair?
Please.
And just so, because maybe I've muddied the water here, just so we don't get totally lost in this, the 34% is not totally attributed to background checks.
No.
There's increase in staff here also.
Right.
Senator Monroe.
No, Roblin.
Yeah, I'm looking straight at him and calling the wrong name. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to clarify because I think I now understand this much better than I did before, and that is that every 4 years we are expected to do a background check. Every 2 years we do a budget, and therefore it gets scheduled out of the every other year and is reentered in the second biennium. And that's why it has to come out and go back in. And we won't see it in the next two budgets because they're at the off cycle, and they will be seeing that the following biennium when they have to reintroduce it again. So background checks are done every 4 years. And because of that, it cycles in and out each year. it's a little over $100,000+, which makes it a little over 10% of the budget in this particular cycle. We won't see it next time with this board, but we will see it with some other boards. I appreciate that understanding, because I couldn't understand why we were doing it every year if we had to have it every year. So that makes sense why it goes out. So thank you.
Okay, I think. Any other further comments? Well, we haven't voted yet.
Oh, yeah. You made the motion.
I already made the motion, didn't I?
He made the motion. Oh. We were in discussion.
Oh,
okay. The motion is that the Education Subcommittee move 5013 as amended to the full Joint Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Continued? Any objections? Senator Thompson objects. Representative Springer objects. Motion carries. Now we need carriers. And to the full. Senator Roblin?
I would be glad to.
Thank you. Is there a House member that would like to carry this to the floor? There you go, Representative Smith Warner. Just know that Kim will come out and help with any questions. And the Senate floor.
I'll do it.
There you go. Thank you, committee.
Good one. Thanks.
And I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 5013, open a work session on 5033. Now we'll get to compare.
Okay, I'm the co-chairs, members of the committee. The next item on your agenda is House Bill 5033, which is the appropriation bill for the Board of Psychologist Examiners. And LFO is recommending for the 2015-17 budget that the board, the LFO recommended budget for the Board of Psychologist Examiners is 6 positions, 4.50 FTE, and $1,301,464 other funds. Included in this, you'll like this, the Policy Package 101 is a license fee, a one-time license fee reduction. Again, this is to achieve that parity that we talked about before. We thought the ending balance for this board was a little bit high, and the fees for the licensees need to go back to the licensees. It's going to be a one-time fee reduction that will achieve about $541,613 in reduction of revenue. And then the second policy package we're recommending is an investigator 2 position to help with, they're not doing very well with their complaints key performance measure. They have a backlog. So again, this position is going to be limited duration so that they can reevaluate it in the context of their agency agreement, the 2 agency agreement. And policy package number 103 is for another limited duration part-time office specialist position to help them catch up with the backlog. And that package is $66,885 and half an FTE limited duration.
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
And the backlog, how long a backlog do they have?
I don't have that data, co-chairs, members of the committee. I don't have that data with me right here, but it is a substantial backlog that we that affects their KPM measures. They're only at 66% of meeting of addressing a case within 6 months, and they had a lot of staffing issues in the last biennia, and they need to get caught up.
So, Madam Co-Chair, so a third of their cases are going over 6 months. Is that another way to read that?
Yes.
If 66% are making the 6 month, then that's about a third of their cases are running over 6 months, right?
Yes, Co-Chairs, members of the committee, yes.
Correct. Okay.
I have Representative Springer and then Senator Roveland and then Senator Thompson. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. On the KPMs 1 through 4, I'm not seeing target numbers for 2016 or 17. I'm not so worried about 17, but 16 I am. What's the rationale behind that?
Co-Chairs, Representative Springer, that is an administrative oversight on my part. I just didn't hit the print button on that part.
So do we have those numbers, the targets?
I can look it up.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Yes, we do have them.
Oh, you look them up in the binder. Uh-huh. Okay, if that's somewhat easy. I'm assuming we're going to be entertaining a motion to approve KPMs, and so
yes.
I think we need to know those.
That's about the third motion I get to make.
Yeah.
I certainly won't feel slighted, Madam Chair, Co-Chair, if somebody else wants to go ahead with their question. I'm patient.
I was going to say, we're all patient. Give Kim a second to breathe.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. So it appears to me that not only was this agency not doing very good work, they were giving money back because they were overcharging. They had plenty of funds to keep up with those some of the cases that they were doing. They didn't do a very good job. I commend them, though, for giving some money back, but they're still at a 25% increase, so I'll probably be a no again.
Thank you, Senator Thompson. Senator Roveland?
We hadn't given them authority to hire people to catch up on the backload. This bill asks for the catch-up, so
right.
That would be helpful, even if you have the money and you don't have the authorization to hire them. It makes it hard to get the catch-up. But my bigger question was, is this the board that they're thinking of merging with the previous board?
Yes.
That we had? So if it is, it is nice that they're on an off-year cycle with respect to who gets background checks. So in the future, we won't have that problem if they do join, because this half will be done one biennium, the other half will be done the other biennium, and so that will equal itself out, which I appreciate. And now I'm actually happier we made limited duration people, because oftentimes you get efficiencies when you join together, and I think that would be a good time to actually really think about whether those limited duration need to stay or if one person can do the job. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness ahead of time before we start merging. I see this budget as appropriate, and the fact that we're trying to narrow the gap so that the amount coming in together, they don't make extra money on this group to supplement the other group, and I am pleased with the thoughtfulness as we move forward with these two agencies. So I appreciate that.
Thank you, Senator.
Co-Chairs and Representative Springer. I found the target. They are meeting their residency supervision. It's supposed to be 97% target, and the examination 97%, and the continuing education is 99%.
Follow up, Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, please.
And did you say what the KPM, the target for complaint investigations is?
I believe it's in the 90s. Up 85% is their target.
For 2016?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And 2017.
They're at 66. Okay. Are there any other questions?
Do you have a question, should you say?
Yeah.
Representative Huffman?
Not of Kim. Is the director here, the board? Board? Board of psychologist examiners,
no.
Not here.
Yes.
I have a question if we could.
Yes, could you come forward, please?
As the director's coming up, members of the committee, I just wanted to say that our director is brand new. He wasn't even here for the budget presentation for public hearing, so.
Good, that's why he's got a good left-hand man.
I'll let you introduce yourself and then I'll ask a question.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was going to call you Mr. Co-Chair. Representative Huffman, must not have slept last night.
Chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee, my name is Randy Harnish. And the last time I was here, I was the very short-term interim director for this board and the Board of Counselors and Therapists. And subsequently, the boards have hired a new director, executive director, came into the office on March 2nd, and I'd like to introduce Charles Hill, who's the new executive director for those two boards.
Welcome, Charles.
Thank you.
Representative Huffman, you have a question.
Well, maybe a couple of them, because I want to just make sure I've got the right.
You didn't say that.
I've got to clarify, make sure I've got the right board or where my question should be directed. And if it's not this budget, then we'll let it die, because I don't want to bring stuff in that isn't connected with the psychologist's examiners. I've had a bill the last couple of biennia because there's a university that does a fair amount of their work online, which is where a lot of university work is headed. And I think out of necessity, because the way we live our lives, one and the other is with our 40-40-20, It helps universities get more people through to a degree, but this university has been denied recognition because a lot of their work is done online. Is this the right budget for that question, or are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Co-chairs Comp and Monroe and members of the committee, Representative Huffman, yes, this the board is the Board of Psychologist Examiners, and the bill that I believe that you're referring to was House Bill 2044 that
sounds
was
like
subsequently amended into, can I pull the number, Senate Bill 418, and we've been closely following that bill.
It is no longer in 418, and 418 got passed without it.
Okay.
So it has died.
Because 418 was actually a gut and stuff from
84, your bill, your other bill, with respect to accelerated learning.
Follow up?
Please, because I'm totally lost.
So can I ask what the intentions and direction of the board are? And maybe I'm biased. My understanding is this college has a great program that a number of Oregon students go to, and then they find out that they can't necessarily get their licensure in Oregon because of their degree through this university. And I've yet to get a solid answer and reason why they're not recognized.
Co-chairs and Representative Huffman, I wish I could answer that. Unfortunately, I really can't for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, both of us are, I'll plead the naive and recency, but also that is a decision of our board, and our board, you know, the board hires the director and the board is appointed by the governor, so they are their own separate, you know, they are their own decision-making body. Now that said, those members cycle on and off, and so the tenor of the board will change over time. But as it's as it exists today, they make the decision, they take the position, and then we work through, as any other state agency, through the governor's office, whether or not we can take a position on a particular bill. And I'm not sure if they've worked through that process with the governor's office on this bill.
Follow up.
Yes, please.
Do you know if this is a topic that the board is going to take up and review their position because, like I say, the way that higher ed in general is shifting more and more every year to online learning, whether it's a nursing degree or whatever, we have numerous examples of where other boards are figuring out how to accept online learning.
Co-chairs Compton, Monroe, and Representative Huffman, I think you are giving very clear direction that you would like to see the board take that topic up, and I think your message has been delivered and received and will be carried forward to the board. Again, they make their decision, but we can certainly bring the question forward to them.
You articulated that very well. I'm making my position known, and hopefully you'll carry that back to the board. Thank you.
And yes, because Senator Roblin, I was going to come back and ask for your information and knowledge on this, because again, this has gotten complex this morning.
There is one online university that is still certified with the board. It has been grandfathered. I concur with Representative Huffman. I think they need to take a look at this seriously. My understanding is that none of the current practicing psychologists that got their degree through this program, because it was at one time certified here in Oregon, so they have a group of practicing psychologists who don't seem to have any complaints or other kinds of. I haven't heard any reason that they have not done a good job. I know that Washington and California also accept their graduates, and it does seem unreasonable. You have to work in another state for 10 or 15 years before you can come in with that degree. So I would hope that they would really look at this seriously. I think that's better than having to have a bill if the board can look at it, figure out what they want that's not being done, that can be done in a different way, because I think they're willing to work with that. So I would encourage you to have that conversation with them as well.
Thank you. Kim, did you have any other comments about the our packages before we make a motion?
Co-Chair Kopp, but I'll just reiterate the LFO recommendation of 1,301,464 other funds, 6 position, and 4.5 FTE.
Okay, Senator.
Co-Chair.
Yes, please.
I move that the Education Subcommittee approve LFO recommendations to House Bill 5033.
Thank you. The motion is that the Education Subcommittee approve the LFO recommendation. Is it Senate Bill or is it House Bill?
House Bill
5033. Discussion. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support everything with this board, with the understanding that of what we had just discussed on the record, but if something doesn't get done, I'm not going to be quite so nice in the future.
So recorded. Okay, any other discussion? Any other objections other than Senator Thompson? Motion carries.
And Madam Co-Chair?
Yes.
LFO recommends amending House Bill 5033 by the following changes. In line 6, delete 1,198,540 and insert 1,301,464 with the dash 1 amendment.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes.
Move the dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5033.
The motion has been made to move the dash 1 amendments to House Bill 5033. Discussion? Objections? Motion carries.
Key performance measures.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, LFO recommends keeping the key performance measures target numbers as the same as recommended on your the task sheets and on OLIS. Again, the board is meeting 100% of its board best practices and getting good customer service rating. The only thing they're struggling with is the complaint investigations and workload. So that's why we're trying to address that issue with their policy package.
Madam Co-Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
I move LFO key performance measure recommendations be approved.
The motion is that to have the key performance recommendations approved on House Bill 5033. Any discussion?
Yeah, discussion.
Yes, Co-Chair.
They're behind in one. We're giving them the temporary staff to make up that deficit. This is the appropriate action for the LFO recommendation and for our approval.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any objections? Motion carries. Okay, we need, is that the last
final,
one?
Final motion?
Okay. Yes, please.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the Education Subcommittee, or the Education Subcommittee move House Bill 5033 to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
The motion is to move the motion. Kim, I lost it. Thank you. The motion is to have 5033 move to the Education Subcommittee and the full to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Thompson?
No, I'm just getting ready.
Okay. Any objections? We have one objection with Senator Thompson. Motion carries. Thank you, committee. And so we need carriers.
I'll be happy to carry to full and the floor on the House if you would allow.
I would be more than happy for Representative Huffman. I was going to say Representative Thompson. And
I'll handle the Senate.
Okay. Thank you, Co-Chair Monroe. Well, folks, we've made it through a few. Now we just have one left. One left. Psychologist. Oh, pharmacy. Yes, I'm closing the work session on 5033 and opening a work session on Senate Bill 5530.
Okay, Co-Chair, some members of the committee. Your next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 5530, the appropriation bill for the Board of Pharmacy. The 2015-17 LFO recommended budget for the Board of Pharmacy is 20 positions, 20 FTE, and $6,892,537 other funds. This is about a 15% increase from the 2013-15 legislative approved budget, and it includes the following policy package. Package 100 is a personnel management package that increases other funds to fund a pay line exception for that's approved by the Department of Administrative Service Human Resources for the executive director, because he the executive director has to be a pharmacist. And also to fund a new full-time program analyst one position in the licensing division as recommended by 2012 operational review that DAS did for the agency. And it also has a pay differential for the compliance director to align that that position's compensation with market rates and to address salary compression in the agency. And package 101 is a business improvement data upgrade that increases other funds by $316,756. Of that, $275,000 of that amount is a one-time cost, and it's to fund a replacement of the board system automation licensing software. This package will be funded by the board using a one-time revenue from a civil penalty that the board collected. And package 102 is for IT services. It increases their other funds expenditure by $25,000 for costs associated with liability insurance that DAS recommended they increase for the agency protection. And then package 103 is for a paperless retention effort. It increases their other funds by $22,770 to continue the board's paperless record retention with the state archives. This will increase their usage and have them keep records without having to spend time on storage and cabinets and physical storage. There are some packages, and this is another package 801 analysts. Revenue reduction to reduce their other fund revenues. Again, the board is going to switch from an annual licensure process to a biannual licensure process. So they're going to reduce their fees, and they're also redo their workload by going to a biannual licensure process, and they will reduce revenue by about $806,548 by doing this. There are two packages LFO does not recommend. One was for a medical lab testing. This package was requested because the agency thought that under the Drug and Quality Security Act passed by Congress in 2013 that the FDA would require the board to test compounded drugs. But so far, the FDA has not done any of that. So because the timeline is uncertain, we're going to deny that package until the FDA makes a more certain recommendation. Package 105, the agency requested $25,000 to pay for merchant fees paid to U.S. Bank to provide for their online, secure online fee renewal. And LFO is denying that because the board is currently absorbing these costs in their budget, and they don't need an increase in the limitation for that. And that's it. Did you talk about package 801? Yes, yeah. I did. That's the package 801 as the revenue reduction that LFO is recommending it because the board is going to a from an annual licensing process to a biannual licensing process.
Okay.
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
I would move that the Education Subcommittee approve the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5530.
The motion is to move the Senate Bill 550 with the LFO recommendations to the full Ways and Means. Discussion. Senator Roblin.
Just a small correction. Only being the dyslexic person, I always watch and find other people to do the same. And we said 37 instead of 73 for the dollars at the end. And I just want to make sure the record was clear. It was 73, not 37, in the $6,892,573. Because I do it all the time.
Well, okay, thank you. Representative Springer.
Thank you. I don't remember which motion we're on, but I have some fairly general comments. Although 15.7% is a significant increase, I'm going to support this budget and this agency and the work they've done for a couple very specific reasons. Handful of us on this committee have had a huge ton of conversations and done work on this board and even went back to try to have an org chart established in past years and to figure out how this board is operating. And I've seen a significant change this cycle, and I want to say kudos. I want to say thank you for that. When you have an agency that's responsible for drugs struggling, my radar goes off like crazy. And that's not to impugn anybody, that's just to say this agency, they all need to get it right, but an agency that manages controlled substances and people that handle controlled substances really need to have their T's crossed and their I's dotted. So there's been a significant amount of work here done in a positive direction. I appreciate that. And certainly I'm going to vote in favor of the KPMs and at the risk of sounding a little too detail-oriented. We don't have the targets for the first four on this one. I'm not overly concerned because the current results are 83%, 95%, 100%, 97%, mm-hmm. and we certainly aren't making a motion to tie dollars to the correction of one of those. So anyway, we just want to be aware of that and somehow get those on the record of what those targets for 2016 and 17 are. But good job. Appreciate it very much. And that's it.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Madam Co-Chair, this may be the most important of these health boards that we review every biennium. As Representative Springer said, I mean, we're talking about public health and safety. We're talking about drugs. Mm-hmm. We're talking about things that, if they go wrong, could go very wrong. And so it's critical. I appreciate the work of LFO on this budget also. Notice that two of the packages that were requested are denied. So they don't just automatically give them everything they ask for, but are very, very deliberate in their recommendations. So I appreciate the work of Kim as well.
Thank you.
So, Madam Co-Chair?
Well, I think I need, Senator? We're good? I'm good?
You're okay.
I don't think you said that you're good.
You are. I did. I meant to say she's good.
Oh, I didn't know if you really meant that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's clear.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, LFO recommends amending Senate Bill 5530 by the following changes. Line 6, delete $6,872,049 and insert $6,892,573.
And Madam Co-Chair, I move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 5530 as outlined by LFO.
Thank you. Senator Monroe moves the dash. Oh, that wasn't the -1, was it? Yes. The -1 amendment to Senate Bill 5530. Any discussion? Objections? Motion carries.
Key performance measures.
Let's do it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends keeping the key performance measures that is, and I promise to click the print for the targets. The agency is meeting all of its target. They're 100% in inspection. Customer service is in excellent or good, and 100% of their board best practices.
Move the LFO recommendation on key performance measures.
Senator Monroe moves the Education Subcommittee approve the LFO key performance measure recommendations. Discussion. Objections. So moved. Okay.
And Madam Co-Chair, I would move the Education Subcommittee approve Senate Bill 5530 and send it to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
The final motion is that Senator Monroe moves that the Education Subcommittee move Senate Bill 5530 to the full Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator Thompson.
And I was going to assign it to you. How can I assign you anything when you keep objecting?
Oh, I hear bills I vote against.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's voting.
The motion carries.
I don't mind carrying.
And for carriers to the full, Senator Monroe. To the House, I'll carry it to the House. And to the Senate. Senator Monroe.
How can I carry it if you keep raising your hand? You have seniority over me.
Madam Chair, I move we adjourn.
Well.
Quickly.
We will be adjourning, but not until we hear what's on our agenda for tomorrow. Kim, do you know?
Yes.
Julie told us.
Julie knows. I can look it up very quickly, too. Tomorrow. On the agenda is the Department of Education early learning programs public testimony, hearing.
And so this is our opportunity to drill down. And you know who's presenting? Is it
Megan?
I believe so.
Okay. And if you have questions about the early learning hubs, how we're going to be spending those funds, and what our outcomes are expected to be. So it's a big agenda item. And Senator Monroe?
Well, Madam Co-Chair, there's really three big budget areas that this subcommittee has responsibility for. We've done the K-12 budget, although we hope to be adding to it after May 14th. We've heard from higher ed, both community colleges and universities, and their recommendations, and that final decision will also depend upon the May forecast. Now the third of those major areas is the early childhood stuff. And maybe in terms of the impact on education in Oregon over the next decade or more, this may be the most important thing that we actually get into. The early childhood stuff can make a critical difference, I believe, and make a critical difference in our hope to raise a whole generation of Oregon children that all meet their kindergarten requirement by age 5 and read at grade level by the third grade.
Yes.
That's my goal. Should be the goal of this entire subcommittee. Should be the goal of the entire legislature. Hope we can get there. You know, that's one of the main reasons that I'm still here instead of out playing golf like most guys in their 70s would be.
Yes, thank you. And I have a question for Doug. Yes, are we having the governor, the speaker, the presiding Senate president to present during this process?
Well, the two
the presiding officers and the governor, are they going to come and share their thoughts at all, or is it?
They haven't been invited. If you would, probably best to keep from one of you two.
Well, Betty and I will talk about that, but I would like to invite them.
Yes. Okay. Any other comments about the subject, Representative?
Oh, that subject? Well, yeah, it's on that subject. Well, not about inviting the governor or the presiding officers. That's totally up to you guys. But I was just going to thank our committee assistant, Julie Jensen, for sending out that email every week to tell us what's on the agenda every day for the next week. So.
Yes, it is very appreciated. If we read it.
I didn't go there, Madam Chair.
Don, we're just like Moses, leaning on our staff.
Okay, thank you. We are adjourned. Did I close the set? Oh, it's good enough. It's good enough.